We are going to be in the book of Luke for the next 4 weeks. And I'd like to start by this morning and just saying good morning and Merry Christmas. It's not too early to say Merry Christmas. Welcome to Engage Church, and I am thrilled that each and every one of you are here today. My prayer has been this week that our hearts and our minds would be open to God's word for us this morning, that He would use us and change us from His word. Today we start the new series from the book of Luke, and for the next few weeks we are going to go through a series that we have titled Rediscover Christmas, starting with today, the promise of Advent, the promise of Advent. Advent is a season observed as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of Christ's nativity at Christmas. We've got the nativity scene set up back there. We're all getting anxious as we approach Christmas because that's the coming of our Savior. But do you know that there's a second Advent when Christ returns for His church? We now sit on this side waiting for that, the second coming. The word Advent can be defined as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And I would say that we are waiting a very notable person on a very great thing, on a very big event in the second coming of Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, or someone next to you has one, would you open your Bible this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. While you turn there and prepare to read the word this morning, I'm curious, who here has all bought an item online? Yep, show of hands. Just about everybody, right? If you've ever made a purchase online. Have you ever purchased something online that you were incredibly excited to receive? Like you couldn't wait. You couldn't contain the excitement for it to arrive. Here's how it goes. You place the order. What comes right after you place the order? The confirmation email. Somebody who knows what they're talking about here. Then what comes a few days later after the confirmation? The tracking number, right? Your item shipped. It's on the way. Here it comes. So we get an email with a tracking number. Now, sometimes you might click on that tracking number right away because you want to see if it's already on the way. Sometimes it'll say it's already moving through, and other times it'll say we've received the pre-shipment label. I've got a package that's sat in pre-shipment label for a week now. And I emailed them last night and said, hey, let's go. Where is it at? Why is it taking so long to get here? What's going on here? And sometimes when we click on that, it takes us to the information, but it says tracking or delivery date will be updated as soon as we know. And so sometimes we find ourselves waiting. We have to wait to check the date to see when it's going to be delivered. You might kind of put it in the back of your mind and you go back and check on it in a couple of days, because you want to see how far through the network it's moved. And you see that yesterday it was in Des Moines. This morning, it's in Pennsylvania. And now you have a delayed delivery date. You're left with frustration and bewilderment as to why it traveled that path. You laugh because you've gone through it and you know what I'm talking about this morning. And now you have to wait even longer to get your package. The whole time, knowing with most confidence that you're going to get your package. Now, I know there's always a one-off. We'll never see it. But 9 times out of 10, we're going to get our package. No matter the crazy path or the amount of time it takes to get to you, we can expect to get our package. Does anybody here, have you ever noticed that they don't have the same trouble delivering your bills? I just want to share this fun little drawing with you. This is USPS or any delivery service delivering my bills, and then any delivering service delivering my packages. Can anybody testify? Like, do you understand this morning? That's a fun little path there that they took, isn't it? Let's get to our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This is the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What we just saw in our scripture today, did you know it's promised clear back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? Roughly 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Emmanuel, meaning God with us, by means of a virgin birth. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Church, the Lord delivers on his promises. Because Mary responded with complete surrender to God's will, she became the mother of Jesus. Mary wasn't a random selection by God. And understand that it's no small thing to be chosen to be the mother of God. She was chosen because she found favor with God. It just told us that you have found favor with the Lord. Her humble and godly life pleased God to choose her for this important task. But how? Through the Holy Spirit. God worked a miracle within Mary's body, and Jesus was conceived only by a supernatural act of God. It was only by God that this was able to happen. This way, Jesus would be completely holy, meaning he came into the world unstained by sin and free from spiritual corruption, unlike all of us here today. What we see in this scripture is Mary's complete surrender and obedience to God's calling. And what this did is it allowed her to be part of God's plan. And it should be an example of how we are to be obedient and wholly surrendered to God's will in our life. Things we need to say yes to. See, what was happening right now, Mary was seeing the fulfillment of scripture right in front of her eyes. Now, I know for a fact nobody has waited 700 years for a package. She likely knew this passage from Isaiah. She knew that the Messiah was promised. Like we all know, our Christmas packages are on the way. She was watchful and hopeful, only she didn't have a tracking number for when it was arrived, let alone she didn't know that it was coming to and through her. So there's a few things that I want to touch on this scripture, verses 26 through 38 today. There's a few things that I want to touch on today, and they're things that I hope that encourage us and they challenge us this Christmas season. The first and foremost, this is more of like almost a friendly reminder to all of us. God's promises never fail. God's promises never fail. Joshua 21, verse 45, it says, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." In the book, All of the Promises of the Bible by Herbert Locklear, found 7,147 promises from God to man in the Bible. That was just number one. We have a few more to go through. I'm only going to name a few, otherwise we would be here all day. Here's some of the promises. God is always with me. Joshua 1:9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The second promise, God will strengthen and help me. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The next promise, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. God promises new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Finally, Jesus promised that he will return for us. The promise of Advent. It's the second Advent. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Aren't you glad we're on this side of Calvary? We know that Jesus, we know it. We know that Jesus was born into this world, that he died a criminal's death on the cross for our sins, a place where we belonged, not him. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days and rose again. All things that were foretold in Scripture, all things that were promised. So here's what we have. We have a track record of God's promises coming to fruition, being delivered, and time again, he is faithful. So this morning, church, we wait for the second Advent. He's promised it's coming. And the question I have for you is, are you prepared? It's vitally important. While we hold on to his promises, the second thing that I want to point us to from our Luke scripture is, does his favor rest on us? Does the Lord's favor rest on us? Because as our second point, favor with the Lord is crucial. Favor with the Lord is crucial. This comes from Psalms chapter 90, verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here's what we need to know on this. The favor of God empowers us to do more, not less. The favor of God empowers us to do more, not less. Do you think Mary would have been able to carry out her task without the Lord's favor? It would have been pretty hard, wouldn't it? What about Noah? Noah couldn't have built the ark without the favor of the Lord. What about Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Peter, Paul, John? To name a few, none of these could do what God called them to do without having favor from the Lord. So if I say favor with the Lord is crucial, we have to provide a way for how can we gain God's favor. How do we gain God's favor? The simple answer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we start. It is faith in Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The Lord invites each and every one of us every single day to seek his favor. When we seek his favor, we humble our hearts before him. We seek him for himself, not for the blessings that we hope to get or the demands that we would like to give. We seek him for himself. And we arrange our lives around loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Church, is what I'm saying is we must be fully committed to him. We talked about that in our Sunday school this morning. We must be completely and utterly sold out to Jesus. We must worship, we must revere, and gain His heart. We must instill His heart, His purpose in our lives. All in, no stop, no hesitation. When favor comes, then comes the ability to do more. But we must say yes. We see this take place in our scripture this morning. Mary, who found favor, she found favor because she was seeking God. And then she was given a task, and she said, so be it, as you have said. Let's think about her situation here for a minute. Before I get off track here, we must obey the Holy Spirit. We must say yes to the Holy Spirit. Right away, think of Mary's position. She was betrothed to Joseph. Now, what does betrothed mean? Essentially, it means it's stronger than an engagement, not as strong as marriage. So, I don't know in today's world where that fits, but it's somewhere between engagement and marriage. She would be pregnant before they were married. She's saying yes to this. She would be pregnant before they were married and not with Joseph's child. What a scandal. Think of the ridicule, the rejection, the suffering that she would endure being pregnant in that time and not married. By Jewish law, she could have been considered unfaithful and an adulterer since she was pregnant, which means David or Joseph had every right to divorce her publicly. Scripture tells us he was going to go do it quietly, privately, until the angel appeared to him. She could have also been punished to death by all rights of the Jewish law. But she said yes. She said yes. Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What does this mean? We may not know the end of His plan until we step into His plan. Now, what Mary knew was she was going to give birth to the Messiah, Emmanuel, the Holy One, Jesus. But when we look at people like Abraham, Abraham had no clue where the promised land was. In Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So sometimes we have to say yes before we have all the information. Now, just because I'm an old car salesman, how many of you bought a car before you had all the information? How many of you bought a house without looking at it? Right? Nobody. What a dumb question to ask, right? Mary said yes before she knew the whole weight. Abraham said yes. Noah said yes. We can look throughout Scripture and see people who were just stepping out in faith. We can't obey if we are unwilling to hear. We can't do if we won't listen. And we won't be called if we ignore. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. What does quench the Spirit mean? It means to shut them off. I don't want to hear that. What you just asked me to do, that's a no for me. The fastest way to not get called to do things is to say no when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something. God may have a plan for you. It may mean extraordinary changes in your life. Think of Mary. I know some theologians would say Mary was about 13 years old when all this took place. I would say that there were some extraordinary changes coming. There were things that were going to happen in her life that she had no control of. It may take every ounce of faith you have to say yes, but isn't that all we need? Just a yes? Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. So will we obey the Holy Spirit no matter what He asks of us? Are we willing to say yes? if we don't surrender, if we don't fully commit to God's call, if we're not obedient to it, someone else will carry out what God intended for you to carry out. If Mary said, nah, you're crazy, angel, I'm not going to do... Jesus had to be born some way, right? Now, obviously, God in all of his wisdom knew that Mary was going to say yes, right? But as free will agents, we have the choice to say yes or no to what God is calling us to do. If she would have said no, the birth of Jesus would come through and maybe we would have somebody, I'm not even going to say name because hey, who even knows, but we may not know Mary as Jesus' mother. So if we don't say yes, someone else will carry out what God had planned for us to do. So here's what I hope we can take away from today's lesson, or from today's sermon. It might be a lesson. Maybe this is more teaching. One, we are covered by God's promises. If you profess Jesus Christ in your Lord and Savior, you are covered by the promises of God. When we have His favor, there's nothing we can't do. If I'm unwilling to seek after Him, how can I expect to be able to do big things for Him? And when we must say yes, when He calls us, we must say yes. When He calls us to talk to somebody or to give sacrificially or to be generous. And did you know that you can be generous in your kindness? Generous in your patience? I don't mean to call anyone out, but the most patient person I know is Arvin. I don't know if that's true at home. The most patient man that I have ever seen, nothing works him up. Yeah, no big deal, he says. It'll work out. This morning I've got fire alarms running off in my head of all the various things. We had some holes that we had to fill this morning in our service, and it's no big deal. It'll all work out. I love that man for that. He is the, how do I want to say this? I'm not trying to puff you up, Arvin, so plug your ears. I'm really not. He's the calm when other things, because he's learned patience, right? Rochelle's shaking her head. Yes, she knows. Sometimes fire alarms go off over at the office, and she calls Arvin, and, oh, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Just a calm voice. So if you're having a bad day, here's call Arvin. His phone's on silent. He may not get it until tomorrow. Hopefully you don't need to hear his voice. But anyways, I'm just saying, guys, listen. We have to say yes to what he calls us to. Mary said yes. Maybe the next story that is shared to the next generation is because you said yes to what he was calling you to. Maybe he's calling you to start up a ministry in the church or a ministry in the community. Maybe he's calling you to serve in an aspect or to give of yourself generously, whatever that looks like. Maybe he's calling you to be a better example to your kids. Maybe he wants you to take it a step further with what you're doing with your kids. Maybe he's calling you to disciple somebody. Is there somebody in the church that you could help raise up and help them develop as a Christian? These are all things that God calls us to. But are we willing to say yes? Are we willing to say yes when he calls? After all, don't you know we have the perfect example in Jesus? Jesus was God's promise, who in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God." And he said yes to God's plan to redeem man. He said yes to redeem you and me. He said yes to redeem all of us to himself through the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus said yes to that plan. So Jesus is our model for this very thing. Here's what I know. Cece, if you want to come on up. Engaging our community for Jesus. It requires us to hold on to God's promise. We have to hold on to His promises. We need to gain favor with God as a church. And then we all need to say yes to the Holy Spirit when He gives us opportunity to carry out His plan. This is a must if we are to grow this church, if we are to disciple this church. If you guys would, I would just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. Here's the greatest promise we have in Scripture. The greatest promise. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, for anyone, for any of you that are here today who have never put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I need you to see, I need you to hear, and I need you to know that God has brought you to this moment here and now. He brought you here. It was no mistake. He knew you were going to be here before you knew you were going to be here today. Because He loves you and He desires a relationship with you. In this moment right now, He's telling you, I love you and I gave my Son for you. So my question to you is, what is keeping you from being declared innocent of sin? What's keeping you from being declared righteous before God? What is keeping you from being in the family of God? What is keeping you from having eternal life with God in His kingdom? What's keeping you from it? Don't let your pride or your desire to get right. Oh, I've got to do this first. I got to quit doing this before I can do this. Listen, don't let your pride or your desire keep you from Him. I plead with you this morning. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. It's a simple heartfelt prayer. It's confessing that you're in sinner of need of forgiveness and declaring that Jesus is the Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Romans 10:9. I'd like to say a short prayer with you this morning if that's you. If that's where you're at this morning, do you want to make a decision to ask Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and step into that relationship with Him? Would you just raise your hand this morning? Amen. As we get ready to close this morning, the greatest package, the greatest gift that we could ever receive is the gift of Jesus. We know His promises never fail. You might be in a spot where you feel like God is a package that's gotten lost in the mail. You've been waiting days, weeks, months, or even years to hear from Him or see Him move in a certain situation in your life. I have to ask, are you finding favor with the Lord? Have you humbled yourself before Him? Have you truly sought after Him? And have you made it your purpose to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you doing the bare minimum to appear like you are? Do you have the appearance of such without? Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Or have you ignored Him? Have you rejected His call to do something? And now what you've done is you've unintentionally put yourself at a distance. And you have your ears closed off to what the Holy Spirit is asking of you. My challenge for us today, my challenge for each and every one of us, before you leave here, come to the altar, seek God, repent if necessary, and step into His promises that He has for your life. Commit today to finding favor in Him and commit to being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is calling you to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You're stirring in our hearts this morning. Lord, that You're speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, that You're challenging us. You're realigning our thinking on things. Lord, and maybe even pointing out some of our shortcomings that we need to get right. Lord, I pray that you would put it on our hearts that it would be our desire, Lord, to seek after you, to seek your favor. Lord, to fully commit every aspect of our life to you today. Lord, that as we go out this week, we would have opportunity to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would see our lives change, that we would see others' lives change because we were willing to be obedient. Lord, as we move into a time of worship, Lord, I pray that you would speak to those. Lord, that you would call them forth, that they would respond to your call. And Lord, from this would be a day, a moment in time where they forever remember that this is when everything changed. Lord, we invite you here. We ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
This song talks about Jesus being the King of Kings, our majesty. Jesus is our hope. And today and every day, may we give our endless praise to him.